RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans!
I have to let you know something off the bat, Tracy.
Oh, boy.
Before we got started, Lauren went out for a walk with the baby, and she left a... Do you ever have one of those Belvita breakfast crackers?
Oh, yeah, like their little cookies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're really good, and we usually have a box of the blueberry ones around, just like if it's on-the-go snacks or something to dunk in coffee real quick. By the way, a quick dunk, you can't let them sit in there. They fall apart quick. But either way, yeah, Lauren, they come four crackers in a pack, and Lauren had two, and then she just walked out the door with the baby. So I walked by the open bag, and I took one. And then I said, to hell with it, I'm taking both. And I chomped them down, and now I have a little fleck of, I think maybe blueberry or something in the back of my throat. So if I start going into coughing fits, that's what's going on. It's almost as bad as eating almonds. I love almonds. I love dark chocolate covered almonds, stuff like that. But it does not, there will be a fleck of almond that gets in the back of your throat and make you cough for hours.
A fleck of almond.
Yep. Speck of it, a fleck of it.
So funny.
A splinter of almond.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, please.
Last night in the Dark to Light Telegram room, someone said, "Oh my God, Frank, this information about emojis is insane." What the heck is, what is this all about?
Okay. Well, it's amazing you bring it up because there was this video that I had been shown a couple months ago. And it was on this channel, it's a small channel on YouTube, and it's based on this puppet called Bulwer Smythe, and it's like a Muppet kind of a character. And the puppeteer's name is Nick. I know this because Nick actually reached out to me after the show last night to thank me for the shout out on the podcast because it sent an influx of new subscribers to his channel. And what he did was he put together a video less than 10 minutes long that talks about the potentially demonic backstory and creation story of emojis, especially the original 72 set of face emojis on our phones and stuff.
They have the Italian hands now.
Oh, yeah. So there's so many now, but it focused on the original 72. And they brought it all the way back to the time of King Solomon, like biblical times.
What?
King Solomon. Oh, yeah. King Solomon and his transactions with Queen of Sheba. And where this story goes is really something else. And what I had my chief researcher, John Carroll, he goes, I said, listen, we have to do a story on this. Take this video, transcribe it, cite it to Kingdom Come. Just transcribe it so we can turn it into a article that I can cover on a show because we have to talk about this. And we turned it into a blog post called Crouching Emoji, Hidden Demon. And it's something really, really amazing because you might think, oh, that's crazy. Emojis, Frank. But when you go and you look at the lines that have been drawn in this theory, it is more than plausible. It is almost just like at that point, you're just wondering what's the outcome? What's the impact of this? Because it's happened, you know?
What's this blog post? I have to look at this.
Okay. If you go to – here, hold on. I'm going to send it to you.
I'm going to go to quitefrankly.tv.
TV, and then on the nav bar there's a blog, so that'll just take it to you. Or I think the blog is always at the bottom.
Oh, Crouching Emoji, Hidden Demon.
It's the latest one. We have
many people around the world seem to finally be waking up to the conspiracies that has been discussed on Quite Frankly for years now.
Kind of say
in defense of them having just arrived to the party. These conspiracies often go back decades or longer, multi-layered. Okay.
It's you know what? I know I just did it last night, but not everybody that listens to Dark to Light listens to Quite Frankly. If you want to read it, it's
I don't it's know. I don't know. I got to go through it first before I read this on the show here.
I know. Yeah.
Well, you know, we have two different focuses.
Hey. Well, we can always talk about that weird shaming ritual that Jeffrey Toobin had to go through with Allison Camerota.
You can talk about. I don't know about. Listen, I have not been on the interwebs in like almost 48 hours, other than Uncovered UC. So tell me, what is this all about?
Well, first of all, you know, obviously Jeffrey Toobin has not been on television for quite some time because of the jerking off on the Zoom meeting.
The unfortunate fact that they caught him is more like it.
Right. Well, he was brought on to Allison Camerota's show last night for the first time as a CNN analyst.
You know,
to talk about gun control.
This but pisses before, me off.
But I know. If anybody gets, I know that there's some like you know. I said it last night. People like what's his name, Matt Lauer. We haven't seen anything from him since we learned about his Dr. Claude desk. There's people who have left the scene and have not come back. But anybody gets second chances.
Yeah, but look, hold on a second. This is why I am pissed. And it has nothing to do with the fact that these liberals get to come back, which they should be banished from polite society forever. It's because if we say a mean word, I think John Cardillo said something. I had no idea what he was talking about. If somebody says something bad, conservatives will jump all over that person and like kick them out of polite society, especially when a leftist picks up on it. Oh, that's horrible. How dare you align yourself with someone that could have ever said that when they were 10? They've tried to do this over and over again, and the conservatives will jump right on board with this and like blacklist and shame any conservative that has like some weird, you know, something in their past from when they were a teenager. And the liberals, they just let them go away for a few minutes or they just don't pay attention to it at all, like in the case of Hunter Biden. And then they're back on CNN as analysts. I'm sorry. It's just annoying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The other thing there, too, is you get the other things like Lindsey Graham, a man that I just don't like at all. And for a time, I was rooting for him to redeem himself after coming out from under what we were hoping was the detachment of John McCain's shadow and becoming your own man. Mm-hmm. But because he's like, you know, he was like Grover Dill to John McCain's Scott Farkas. So it was like, you know, I was reading through either Just the News or Summit or something like that. And I saw a headline from Lindsey Graham, who also, it's not exactly to the point of what you're saying about people getting second chances and this and that, but it's also just about people who are supposed to be on one side or another, just continuing to link arms with the establishment to gaslight everybody into complete untruths or nuanced untruths. So here you have Lindsey Graham saying that If it weren't for the rejection of the lab leak theory, of the COVID-19 lab leak theory, Donald Trump would have won the election. I said, you think Donald Trump lost the election because people weren't allowed to properly explore the origin of COVID-19? You liar.
Yeah.
This is what they do. And they continue to pretend like they're on opposite sides of some kind of an argument. They link arms to gaslight people. So there he is pretending like, yes, no, yeah, Donald Trump was wronged. It wasn't on the election level. Of course, everything was on the up and up. Hell, I won my reelection. But it was something else. It's because we didn't confirm early enough that this was the origin of this virus, even though that was the least of it. So this is the kind of stuff we deal with all the time. It's not even just about how one side obviously is allowed to do things that the other side isn't. People on supposedly the opposition to this progressive scourge on the earth, they're still walking in lockstep with them too. Just they have a different mask on.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. So I distracted from Tubin. So there he is on Allison Camerota's show as an analyst.
Oh, but here's the thing. He comes on to talk about gun control because they had that court ruling in California that struck down the assault weapons ban or something like that. And so Allison Camerota, she prefaces the whole thing for the first 40 seconds or so. If you go to the 44 second mark, that's after they had just finished.
Did you send it to me?
Yeah, it's in the chat on Skype. Okay. Around the 44 second mark is where they just finished queuing up the statement that was given by Gavin Newsom out there in California. And she is about to talk about the overturned assault weapons ban and gun violence. And to that point, she is going to bring on in for his first public appearance in 7 months, Jeffrey Toobin. But before he can say a lick about gun control or gun violence, she has, I don't know who said to you, this must be done. She brings him through this really awkward shaming ritual.
Can we listen to it for the first time? I'll listen to it for the first time.
Oh, please, go ahead.
Right. He's unserious.
You'll remember the judge, Roger Benitez, compared AR-15 rifles used in countless mass shootings to Swiss Army knives. Let's bring in CNN chief legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin to talk about this
chief.
And more. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello, Allison.
It's been a while.
It has been a while, indeed.
I feel like we should address.
Oh, my God.
Now, hold on. Happened? For those of you, because this is a audio podcast, everybody at home, you have to envision this. Allison Camerota knows what's coming. And if you see this clip on your own, you can just see in her face. Oh, all right, Jeffrey, let's get around to that little micro penis of yours now. That's exactly. She knows what's coming. This is just the setup is so weird. All right, go ahead.
Does he know what's coming is the question?
Of course. Everybody is full disclosure. This had to be done. This was talked about in a meeting before. Absolutely. This is all set up.
All right, here we go.
Seeing you, since some of our viewers may not know what has happened. So I guess I'll recap. I'll do the honors.
Help yourself.
Okay.
This is so weird.
She's excited. She's excited to do it.
Frank.
She's excited to do it.
Is this for real?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's smiling.
Like, okay, Jeffrey, you ready?
Here we go.
In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from the New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes, during which time you were caught masturbating on camera.
No way!
Yeah.
Are we in real life right now?
This is all. They had to get this out of the way before they could talk about gun violence.
Before the show, I said to you, Frank, I'm a little light on show prep today. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen, but we'll see. And here we are.
Yeah, I said, oh, all right, don't worry. I'll step up to the plate this time.
You were subsequently fired from that job after 27 years of working there.
Oh, and she couldn't even just let it be. She had to throw in his tenure.
Gets better.
Since then, have been on leave from CNN. Do I have all that right?
You got it all right. Sad to say.
Okay, so let's start there. Okay. To quote Jay Leno, what the hell were you thinking?
Well, obviously, I wasn't thinking very well or very much.
Yeah, obviously,
and
it was just very, very funny.
It was
like, what were you thinking when you started playing with yourself? Well, Allison, did you want me to tell you what I was thinking about? Like, what got me? Like, what do you? That's what I don't. From here on, the logic is completely muddied, because I mean, how do you? What do you ask if you're talking to somebody about their me time, and say, what were you thinking when you did that? Like,
to quote Jay Leno, she said,
yeah, But what kind of detail do you want him to get into? I was thinking about my neighbor's cousin. I was thinking about this. You know, I was at the beach the day before, and I was thinking
about how we were in the middle of a strategy session to steal the Republic from the American people.
Oh, yeah. Or what about this? I was thinking about you, Allison.
That would have been even better.
That would have been great, because remember, this is the woman that or one of them that lined up on that daisy chain of Me Too claims, telling her story about how she was made to feel uncomfortable in her early days in Washington when somebody was, like, you know, ogling her while she was smearing cream cheese on a bagel, saying, "I've never in my life wished I could be a bagel before," or something like. And now here she is helping a guy through a masturbation crisis. So it's.
Yeah, wait.
Thing that was inexplicable to me. I think one point, I wouldn't exactly say in my defense, because nothing is really in my defense. I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me.
You thought that you had turned off your camera?
Correct. I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call. Now, that's not a defense. This was deeply moronic and indefensible. But, I mean, that is part of the story.
Here's the other thing. I brought this up last night. This is where we start getting on into. Okay, well, if the premise here is I made a mistake and my webcam was on and the Zoom meeting was still active. If this was not a case, you know what? Keep going. Yeah, actually, there's something else that he says. I'll save it. Go ahead.
Subsequent months, miserable months in my life, I can certainly confess, trying to be a better person. I mean, in therapy, trying to do some public service, working in a food bank, which I certainly am going to continue to do, working on a new book about the Oklahoma City bombing. But I am trying to become the kind of person that people can trust again.
Here's the thing. Now, really, Tracy, think about that. I'm going to therapy. They want you touching their food. He's going to a food bank. He's writing a book. I can understand the embarrassment. I can understand how 6 months of, oh my gosh, I'm just haunted by this, the embarrassment of the situation. But what are you going to therapy for?
If you didn't do anything wrong and you thought it was off.
If you didn't think that this was not on purpose and it was just a really horrible accident, then is this a segment with Allison Camerota on CNN to talk about how masturbation is moronic and degenerate? Because I'm sure that half of the camera crew is masturbating at this very moment right now. It's something almost everybody has at least done once. This is where it gets very weird as far as what are you apologizing for and why this big ritual about it if it really was just a very unfortunate mistake.
I just.
It's so odd.
I just wonder, like, what CNN producer thought to themselves, okay, we've got a really important gun decision out of California today. Who can we get on to talk about it? Jeffrey Toobin. Let's bring Jeffrey Toobin back. But before we start the segment about this really important gun control legislation that was overturned, we need to have him talk about how he masturbated in front of all of his colleagues at the New York Times while they were scheming to take the election. Let's have a session. We're going on 3 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Three minutes.
More?
I, to be honest, beyond that, I didn't watch too much more, but I have to imagine this is only a 9 minute segment, but you're already 3 minutes in. It only leaves about 6 minutes to get some good gun control talk in. So I don't know.
And now they did it once and that's it. And he'll have like 3 days of press and then that's it.
Yeah. All
and
behind
then he'll go back to being the same old Jeffrey Toobin he always was.
Well, how long did it take to give Brian Williams a show again? If there's anybody, I know that not everybody makes comebacks, but if anybody's allowed to, it's these people.
Think about what they did to Donald Trump for the grab 'em comment.
Mm-hmm.
That was taped off camera surreptitiously by someone when he didn't know that he was being recorded. And
anybody being honest with themselves knows exactly the nature of that kind of an exchange.
Yes.
What kind of people, what kind of women he was talking about.
And they I hate the double standard. It just makes me angry. And you know what?
Yeah.
Conservatives play right the hell into it. They do. All these hoity-toity Ben Shapiros of the world play right into it. Oh, yes, we can't have that. You bastard, get out of our circles. You horrible person, you said the N-word when you were in high school while you were rapping to a song and reciting the lyrics. You can never be in polite society again. That's what they do.
And then we get the Hunter Biden story.
Yeah, wow.
Now, listen, into that point, another thing that they sat on, which, of course, is just one of those embarrassing kinds of things, not necessarily a look into the criminal enterprise that is the Biden family. But even if I take an honest look at that there, too, who's he talking to? His lawyer?
I believe so.
Or something. And they're dropping N-words and this and that. In reading these transcripts and stuff, I don't think it was racist.
It wasn't. That's the point.
That's the exact point. And they're ignoring it because they know, okay, well, this is obviously not being said with racist, malicious intent. It's goofy, politically incorrect pop culture slanging. And that's just what's going on here. But
no, it's racist inherently.
It's inherently racist to... anybody else that says it.
He needs to also be excoriated from polite society for many more reasons on top of the fact that he used the N-word in a way that should be unacceptable to many.
Yeah.
Which leads me to the critical race theory portion of things that it's not going away. It's not going away at all. Wendy did a piece because she traveled again with John Spiropoulos' crew to Loudoun, Virginia, and they're going to be going all over the country. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be putting the trailer in the description box below for the series. It's about 24 parts, Frank. That's how much work is going into this thing. It's so exciting.
Wow.
But there was in the trailer, there was a guy who, and I'll put this article in the show notes too. She does a whole article about some of the testimony. Freaking amazing. I mean, it really was an amazing, it's an amazing, amazing piece that goes through details on all of this. It's long enough that you get a very good feel for what's going on. But in this trailer that's released now, is this portion where at the end, there's an African-American father who I think is conservative. I'm going to scroll to it so you can hear. Because he has his daughter with him. This is so cute. Listen to this.
Daddy teaches you can be anything in this world that you want to be, right? Don't daddy teach you that?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you're black or white or any color.
Doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown, yellow. Right?
Black.
And how we treat people is based on who they are and not what color
nice.
They are.
And if they're nice and smart.
See, this is how children think right here. Critical race theory wants to end that. Not with my children. It's not going to happen. My baby's going to know that no matter what she wants to be in life, all she has to do is work hard, and she can become that.
Work hard even though you don't know anyone. You can make friends.
Yeah, you can make friends no matter what color they are. So we need to stop CRT, period, point blank. Children do not see skin color, man. They love everybody. If they're good people, they love them.
We pray for people that are hurt.
Then push.
How cute is that? I mean, the girl is adorable, and it's true.
Yeah, a critical race theory is to create racists.
Literally,
it's the only objective is to create racists. I heard that some really backwards ass people in the city of Asheville, North Carolina, have now approved a plan to sell off numerous city properties to be able to dole out over $2 million worth of slavery reparations.
Oh, shush.
Yep. So you want to talk about pandering and making that's an investment into social division, hatred, and public shaming. I mean, that's just, and self-loathing. It's unbelievable. Because what happens when all that money is completely fucking what happens when all that money is completely squandered? Then what? Then we're going to have to reach back and somebody's going to have to demand reparations for the conquests of Genghis Khan.
Yeah, like
then
when does it end?
When does it end? because you're not.
What about the people that don't get reparations out of that 2 million? What happens to them?
I don't know. I don't know. How do you even trace it on back? And like I said before, what happens when it's all gone? Because you're not creating better, stronger people out of this. You're trading away social and societal stability and unity right now for some sort of a perceived political payoff right now. You're not thinking about the future and the kind of shallow thinking people that you're creating. I don't understand why they're doing this.
I wonder how they're going to be able to trace everyone's lineage, because I'm sure I have some African American in my DNA. I think I need some of that cash.
Well, if you have any Italian ancestry, well, you're never really fully Italian. I mean, that was the first major melting pot of the known world back in ancient times. Especially anywhere around Rome or Sicily, especially was a major slave state. Slaves all over the world came in through Italy, and they lived free. They lived in captivity. They were everywhere. So the Mediterranean was a major melting pot. Anybody who thinks that there are purely one thing or another, maybe if you're like Nordic and you. Whatever.
It's really interesting because my husband's side of the family got lineage traced like literally through DNA.
Okay.
And his side of the family, a lot of them are from Italy, and there is a certain sort of African like tribe that is very rare or very small, and she has that, his mom. And I met somebody who said that they were from there when we were in just regular conversation. And Will was like, yeah, my mom, she's got like 8% or 10% or whatever it was. She was like, oh my gosh, you're my brother. Wow. Literally. I mean, it's true. So say whatever you want. You know, all these people, you're white. I'm actually technically not.
Yeah.
Technically not. Really. So am I allowed now? Because is there a certain percentage threshold of African-American or black like DNA that I'm allowed to have to call myself that? Like, does it have to be 49%? Does it have to be 10? What is the percentage? Am I mixed now? Is that what I say?
I don't know.
So stupid. Here we go.
Past 6 years, I've been a tutor for numerous public school kids all over Northern Virginia. Currently, the majority of my students are homeschoolers whose families have decided to leave the public schools. Yes, thank you all. My business is booming because families are waking up to the reality that you're committing nothing short of child abuse. What incredible irony that in your misguided effort to teach tolerance, our kids are being brainwashed to hate their country, its founding, themselves, and each other by being taught the Marxist, communist principles of critical race theory.
And I don't care what side you're on all these topics. That's the point tonight. These are about kids. So keep your political, progressive ideas away from mine, and I'll keep mine off of yours.
We trusted you. We trusted you with our most precious gifts. And you've not only failed, you've betrayed that trust. You are indoctrinating our children.
They still have all their masks on and stuff. They're making them wear masks. And they're not allowed to clap. So you see in the background sometimes that the little wavy hands, you know?
Yeah.
You know, spear hands.
That right there, I mean, I guess they're being polite because they want to be able to get their voices heard. But this is still way too much, way too obedient. Still way too obedient. That's why what they really need to do is, yeah, make their voices heard. But every last person that sits on that board needs to be gone. Every person that sits there on that board needs to be voted out, gone by the next cycle. They have to.
It's something else.
They have to.
You can't allow these people like, and then, you know, they went through in this, you know, video, this trailer, for lack of a better word, they go through like the other words that they're using to call critical race theory what it is, because they're not just saying critical race theory. Now they're like equity and division or, you know, whatever other words that they're using.
Yeah, there's no such thing as equity. And there is no quality without inequality. I would say. There is no quality without inequality. That means that some people are better at some things than others. Some people are worse. Some people have talents other people can't even fathom. And it's only in that natural inequality of things that do we see quality emerge. Equity is this ridiculous notion that all things can be made equal among naturally unequal people. And it is a positive thing that we are not all equal. But of course, they take that statement and say, oh my God, are you saying that my life is not worth as much as yours? Like, no, I'm just saying that I can do things with my life that you can't, and vice versa. It has nothing to do with this shallow ass view on what your skin tone is. These are the most insane people. And when you see things like those studies and that one psychiatrist that came on out talking about her fantasies of unloading a revolver into the head of a white person and feeling like catharsis and something like that, or this Journal of American Psychoanalytic Association that published a study that likened whiteness to a malignant parasite-like condition for which there is not yet a permanent cure. What you're talking about is you're not talking about the everyday men and women like that man and his daughter that understand what real life is all about and all that. You're talking about a very specific group of black, white, brown people who have been suckered into and indoctrinated into a death cult that are saying things. The only reason why you usher in these things into schools, and the only reason why you usher these things and these concepts into psychiatry and media and say these things out loud over and over again, is because you ultimately wish to murder a lot of people. It's not hyperbole. I have said it a lot. Other people have too. You cannot downplay where this leads. If you are making a constant effort to take a person based on their race and minimizing their achievements, their thoughts, their opinions, their importance as an individual. If you do all that over and over again, and you create a hierarchy of race and sexuality where there is no character, there's no content of character there, there is only the physical, you are creating a situation where ultimately there will be permission that you give yourself to mass murder people. That's where this leads, because it's where it's led in the past. This is a prelude to mass murder.
And, you know, not being able to talk about that is exactly what they want. Like, they don't want you to explore the chance that where else could it possibly go? They're not going to put us all on an island somewhere.
Well, what did they say right here? There is not yet a permanent cure to this malignant parasite-like condition called whiteness. Not yet a permanent cure. Well, education certainly isn't doing it, because no matter how progressive we get with education and no matter how beaten and self-loathing our white male children and all that, it doesn't matter how self-loathing we get. They still haven't found a cure. What can we possibly do to get rid of this scourge of whiteness? What can we possibly do? I don't know. It's very serious. I hope that people know that. The time to play around is over.
I'm going to pause it for a second. I got stuck on the way to the bathroom with my dogs jumping at my leg, trying to get my attention. And I started recording again. I'm just leaving it in. I took a little potty break because I couldn't wait any longer.
All right.
And on my way, I had an unfortunate experience with my pups.
They jumped all over you, huh?
And they alerted me to a little incident. They had, they'd done something improper.
Why?
Well, Lily had a rolled up ball of toilet paper in her mouth. And Cody was standing there trying to like get in between her legs.
They ripped it apart.
What?
They ripped it apart?
Yeah, like Lily will run into her room before we can close the door and grab something and run out and then hide it in her cage. And Cody is just like Jeffrey Toobin. So he's constantly trying to get the nasty on with Lily, even though they're both taken care of, so to speak. So I have Lily standing there jumping around with this thing in her mouth, toilet paper. And Cody trying to get underneath her body.
That's not. Well, at least somebody's having a good time this morning.
They're so funny. They're both Maltese. And they're not brother and sister. They're actually husband and wife. They've had puppies together. And they were not the same litter. And they are just hysterical. They're like a hysterical old couple. It's. But I didn't expect to see that when I walked. It's like, oh, she ended early.
That's it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to distract everyone. I have a clip here from Steve Bannon about the New Hampshire nonsense that's going on with voter integrity, Frank.
What's going on now?
So they're having a big rally now for a statewide audit.
Okay.
Because they don't, you know, they want to move this forward. They're having a rally for a statewide forensic audit of all of the ballots in New Hampshire, which are apparently, you know, they have issues in other counties, and that's going to be today. And they still haven't gotten the release of what actually happened from the auditors there. It was Hursty Lindman and Philip Stark, who were all tied to Verified Voting, which is a George Soros sort of group, because the board chair sits on the board of Democracy Alliance, which is a Soros-funded donor group.
Okay.
And Kamala Harris, who won't go to the Mexican border, went to New Hampshire a couple days before these auditors were actually chosen. So there's always been this controversy, but one of the main organizers went on with Bannon, and the clip is in the interview, in the article. So you want to hear?
Yeah, sure.
So thank you. I want to turn now to Marilyn Todd. We've had Marilyn on a couple of times before. It's one of the great patrons up in the Live Free or Die State, New Hampshire. She's with New Hampshire Voter Integrity. Marilyn, you've got a big rally tomorrow. Tell us about it. How do people find out about it? What's the purpose? How did they get there? What site did they go to? And what are you guys trying to accomplish?
So we're having a rally tomorrow in front of the State House in Concord from 12 to 5. We're going to have an affidavit station. We're going to have Daniel Richards, who's a constitutional scholar, Ken Kahn's coming out, Gail Golick, and people from the news. So we have a lot of our local news, you know, so that has been following our case and spreading the truth. And, you know, we got here because we had a sham audit. And basically, our memory cards were deleted by Harry Hursty. And we want all our ballots released in New Hampshire. So tomorrow, we're going to have an affidavit station. We're going to walk one.
So basically, what they're doing is they're going to be collecting affidavits from people who experienced voter fraud.
Okay. So, that's a great start. I mean, we saw tens of thousands of that kind of a collection happening across the country in the months between November and January.
You know, all these, Washington State is going down to Arizona now. You know that, right?
Wait, what? Washington State?
I believe Washington is traveling with the delegation to look at Arizona's audit.
What does that mean?
Usually, they're looking to see if it's something that how they can and if it's something they can do to implement in their own states.
Okay.
So if they tour the facility like Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and all those states, you know, if they tour the facility, typically it's because they're looking into bringing that to their own state like Pennsylvania is by the end of July. Can you imagine even if they just do Philly and Pittsburgh?
If they just did Philadelphia.
Yep.
Even if they just did Philly, it's, you're talking about that state wasn't even close. We're probably close to a million vote differential.
Yep.
That was turned into a 10,000 vote deficit. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just pick one. Just pick one of those two cities.
Yeah, that's all you need. I mean, all you need is, you know, I mean, what happened? I still can't get over what happens.
I talked to Chris Ann Hall about this, and I asked her. I said the biggest question. I had her on, what was it, last week, and we were going to just do a Q&A. And of course, the Q&A from the audience, it really I got dozens of emails, but all of the things really boiled down to two main questions. One was about legality of medical and social segregation based on the vaccine. And the second one was if Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, if the places like New Hampshire, all these places actually go ahead and they reveal once and for all, and they show, forensically prove, and it's all now out there in the open, confirmed, that there was a theft that's happening. Things that, like what Patrick Byrne was talking about, is coming down the pike. If that really happens, is there any constitutional mechanism to be able to reverse or to correct the election? Which I knew the answer was no, because I've read the Constitution.
And they never expected for people to be this effed up.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. There is no mechanism. We are in completely uncharted waters. So I that's why I've said from the beginning, this is going to be wonderfully validating at the very least. And also, at the very most, everything that's happening right now that is bringing about this kind of result needs to continue. The steal, January 6th, if there was no rally and we were just all at home, which most of us were, everybody was at home just watching the House of Representatives go through these votes, and everybody, Ted Cruz stands up over here with Arizona, and there's all these challenges to the elections and this and that, and we're wondering what Mike Pence is going to do. That's all nonsense. At that point, the election is already stolen. It has still happened on the local level. So if we see more of this happening locally to reverse and to plug all the holes that made November possible, as well as, and of course, the validation of actually confirming what happened in November as that source of inspiration to keep going. That's the greatest thing that we can know, that we can expect out of this, because we really are in uncharted waters. And yeah, we know that the judiciary is not willing to do anything too provocative, because when they had an opportunity to act before the certification of the vote, they didn't do anything. So
literally anything.
Nothing.
Forget being provocative. Nothing. Ridiculous. So, well, I know you have to get out of here, Frank. Just to let everyone know, next Wednesday, we will have a blast from the past, Frank. Somebody texted me the other day, said, "Hey, Tracy, guess what? I have a new book I'd love to come on and talk to you about." Who do you think it is?
Ned Ryan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So Ned Ryan will be joining us on Wednesday. Good guess.
There you go.
Yeah. So you have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
I did not choke on the blueberries, Val, and...
Beans! You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. Until next time.
Later.
I'm Jerry Petock, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.